All right, weird episode of UFC Unfiltered. Weird in a good way. Matt and I are here, of course. We are joined by the great John Jones in studio. And then Matt and I wrap up, and I left and Matt left. We were supposed to have Dana White, but Dana's schedule is all fucked up. And then what happens is we leave, Dana's available, so I run back, Matt's on a train, I talk to Dana. So we're going to insert Dana right after John Jones, and then you're going to hear the rest with me and Matt. But don't think that Dana didn't want to talk to Matt or that Matt was taking a shit. That's not what happened.
Jaws are dropped throughout this arena. Nobody is sitting down.
Chasing that finish. Elbows raining down.
Oh! On the button!
Are you kidding me?
Oh, he hurt him again!
He's out!
This is UFC Unfiltered. And now, your hosts, Jim Norton and Matt Serra.
Finally, we're in the same room.
It's good to be back, Jimmy.
I know, it's been about a month since Matt and I have been together. Yeah. And we're starting with a room full of people. I walk up, and we knew John was coming in today. We had it rumored, but a lot of times guests cancel last minute, so I didn't have my hopes up until I saw you outside. And I'm like, wow, you were actually here before Matt or me. So welcome to the show, John.
Hey, thanks for having me, guys.
The great John Jones. Let me just put that applause button.
Let me tell you, we need a better applause.
We do.
It's a real tepid little happy, but it's the best one we have.
Is there an applause button for Conor McGregor? Maybe a little something louder.
No, this is what Conor gets.
I give him the slow, the Longo clap. I call it.
Yeah, especially after that.
There's
last
a Weidman clap because I like Weidman so much, and Longo. You know, I know him for over 20 years. Getting my nerves a little. I give him the Longo clap. It's like a slow clap. Right. Like you're not doing too good at a comedy club. It's like.
I'm glad I didn't get that one.
No, you got.
We're so happy you're here. We're happy you're back in the UFC, man. I mean, not that you ever. Gone, but it's happy that you have a fight coming up, and you're very missed. I mean, for a while, Conor was not fighting. Ronda's gone. I mean, there was no superstars for the UFC.
Yeah, I felt the same way. Yeah, I'm super, super grateful to be back. More grateful to have my job than ever before. And yeah, man, I'm going to do my best to do something with it, man, and try to hang on to it this time.
Can you talk about just tell us what happened? I mean, we don't know exactly what happened, and one minute you were fighting, the next minute you weren't. What was it?
USADA found some substance that ends up in your body, I guess it's not even a steroid. It's like something that comes up in your body. For people who has taken steroids or whatever. But anyways, there was this substance in me. There was a super small amount of it inside of my body. And I pretty much had to be suspended until they figured out what was going on with me.
And didn't they say that it would have been crazy for you to take it because it was like right before the competition? So like, why would you have done it if it was on purpose? Because it wouldn't have done anything anyway.
Yeah, what we were able to figure out was that, you know, it got into my body somewhere around 2 to 3 weeks before the fight, and we were also able to figure out that it came into my body orally, and we were able to figure out that whatever it was, what they said was it was like taking a pinch of salt and throwing it into an Olympic-sized swimming pool. They said, USADA said themselves, it was such a small amount in your body, John, there's no way possibly that this could infect you and negatively or positively.
Look, it was probably something that was tainted. I mean, obviously, every bit of trouble I've ever gotten into has happened orally. So I certainly understand problem after problem.
That's great.
trip to the doctor after trip to the doctor.
You nasty man.
I am. I'm a disgusting individual, but I do understand trouble that comes from that. Yeah. So, now, what finally happened where they said, okay, we understand, we believe you?
Pretty much, they had me do a whole bunch of stuff to just like kind of prove my innocence, and at the end of the whole situation, they just said, you know, John, this is, you know, we're the same company with Lance Armstrong, you know, the Russian wrestling team, Giacova, freaking Marion Jones, you know, we've tested all the highest level athletes, and they're a real deal company, and they're basically, they don't pull strings and favors. I've heard all types of weird shit, and they don't do that for anybody. They basically said, you know, our scientists were able to tell that this was a total mistake. No one's taken oral steroids 2 weeks before an event looking to get better as a fighter, and no one's taken it at this amount. This is such a small amount. This is obviously some kind of contaminated supplement or whatever, in which we were never able to figure out where it came from. But they said it's such a small amount, John. We're not in the business of ruining people's careers. That's not why we're here.
They're looking for cheaters, not trying to ruin people's careers.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
now, did you think your career might be over at that point? How long were you facing in a suspension? Was it 4-year suspension?
I was facing a 4-year suspension, and And it was terrible, man. It was a terrible, shitty, scary time in my life, for real. Depressing,
yeah.
Truly depressing. I actually had to go to counseling this summer. I was so depressed and so miserable, so sad.
Were you thinking, like, what's going to happen with the rest of my life?
Yeah, man. Well, like if I had done steroids and I got caught, then I'd take it like a man and I'd just say, fuck it. I got caught. Let me go and fight in Russia or somewhere where everyone's doing it.
Right.
And I would just handle it that way. I would just been a man about it. But I was truly devastated because I've never taken steroids. And now I had to be labeled like a steroid user and possibly be out for 4 years. And I really couldn't handle it. It was terrible.
What was the first light at the end of the tunnel that you saw and you went, okay, maybe I'll be okay?
Light at the end of the tunnel?
What was the first thing that kind of gave you hope that you would be able to come back and fight a lot sooner?
What gave me hope? Everything just kind of started unfolding for me with USADA all at once. You know, they just pretty much was saying, like, I had a big meeting with one of the heads of USADA, one of the presidents, and the guy pretty much, he told me, John, I'm the person who sat across the table from Lance Armstrong. He's like, I know when people lie to me. You know, I think he said that he was like, he had been worked for the FBI or something for years or something like that, or DEA for years or something like that. He's like, John, I know when people are lying to me. And we sat and we talked for 2 hours straight. And he's like, dude, I believe that this is, between my science that I have in my lab and what you're saying, it makes no sense for you to do this at this amount right before your fight. I believe you. And just having someone at USADA say, I believe you, now let's figure out how this happened, where this come from, that I think that was the first glimpse of any type of light for me.
Now, part of the reason why you were so depressed was, I mean, there's the suspension, which truly sucks, but it really just, you stop DC, you see DC is such a fucking stud and everything he's pulling off lately and everything he's done in his career, and you stopped him and that head kick and everything, and it just taints it. Is that what hurt you? That because of this shit?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a big
it's
part of what
frustrating as fuck.
Just to be delegitimized and decredited after so many years of sacrifice, it really hurts. I'm not sitting here trying to get a poor me train going, like, oh, poor John, this, blah, 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 blah. Because I understand that for the most part, most people won't believe me. And that's something I'm going to have to live with for the rest of my life. And it's fine with me at this point. I don't think many people put themselves in my shoes and what it must feel like if I was innocent, what it must feel like to go through something like that. It was truly fucking devastating.
Did you talk to guys like Junior Dos Santos and a couple other guys? Had I think they found the place where they were actually the supplements were tainted.
Yeah, it was a Brazilian compounding factory or whatever it is.
Right, and they were all kind of exonerated.
Yeah.
Well, they kind of a fucking Brazilian compound factory. They deserve to be suspended if they're going to a fuck. Where are they going?
It may not be the
smartest. They're going to fucking Amazon to get some supplements.
Well, they live.
I don't know.
They live in Brazil.
I'm sorry about that, but I just think that, you know, they got to be a little bit more careful.
All right, just for the record, my coach is Brazilian.
Is he eyeing me up? Come on, we had a nice conversation before.
I was going to say, Matt's the only one in this room that won't die. So
we had a nice conversation before. I'm not attacking all Brazilians. Master Henzo, I just had a nice conversation before, and he explained to me, because Master Henzo Gracie has these shirts called Fodassi and this and that, and he's hashtagging Fodassi everywhere. So I'm sorry, give me a name one more time.
Roberto Alencar.
Roberto, fuck, man, I'm sorry,
Gracie
Roberto.
Baja.
Gracie Baja. That's where I trained him when I was in Brazil. All right, but let me get back on track. So I asked him, what does Fodassi mean? Because I asked Henzo, guy never texts me back, he's all over the world. I go, what the fuck does Fodassi mean? You know? Would you know?
Of course, but you tell me.
No. Oh, okay.
No, how would I know?
So he explained it to me. Come on over here for a second. Could you explain to the world what this means? Go ahead.
For all the haters.
No, get close.
For all the haters, who cares? You know, for the sea. Yeah, whatever you come to judge me, who cares? For the sea.
I like it.
For the sea.
I like it.
For the sea.
Yes,
I. That's like for Fodassi right there, that applause button.
I like that.
I like it. Like, who cares? Like, you're going to judge me? Ah, Fodassi.
Fuck you.
Is that right? Fuck you. Is it vulgar?
It is a curse in Brazil.
Oh, it is a curse. Oh.
Boha.
I got a boha. Yeah, I like that.
So. So you're kind
that's
of like
great. That's great.
You're kind of feeling like, all right, this is tainted and that hurts that people might think.
It was devastating to be delegitimized. Like I said, as a fighter, we put our lives on the line, we put our bodies, I mean our brain cells, you know, we put it all on the line. And to have been doing this for 10 years and all the miles and all the push-ups and shit, and then for people to say, oh, well, that's how he won and that's how he's been winning. It really sucks. It really sucks. But you know, at the end of the day, people are going to always believe what they want to believe. If you honestly want to convince yourself that I've masterminded Nevada State Athletic Commission for this long, and USADA, if you honestly believe that that's the business I'm in, then you're stupid.
You've had a couple of look. You know, you're a young guy and you're one of the biggest athletes in the world, and you had your mishaps, which a lot of guys do.
Yeah.
Do you feel like now you're 31, you kind of put a lot of that behind you? Like, yeah. I got a lot of the wild shit done, and now I have 8 or 9 more great years of fighting.
Yeah, honestly, Jimmy, I've been pretty chilled out for a while now. A lot of people know me from the sport, but they really don't know me. Very few people really know much about who I actually am outside of people that hang out at Jackson's MMA or my management team. Most people in the sport really don't know me. The truth of the matter is I've been a pretty chilled out guy for a long time now, dude. When I used to travel, I could not wait to go to a bar or to the strip club and just be out on the scene. And now, dude, when I go to Vegas, you never see me out. I haven't been out in so long. I chill nowadays. I've had some misfortunes, man, to take a dick pill, and to end up suspended from work and being accused of a cheater. Who expects shit like that to happen to them? Nobody, bro. And then to have a metabolite, you know, like a pinch of salt, they said that was in me, to end up in my body. It's like if you actually knew me, you'd actually know, you know, the John Jones business is actually all right. You know, I'm not nearly as wild as I used to be. I don't do nearly the shit that I used to do. I've just had, the last 2 years have been really misfortune, man. A dick pill and then metabolites of steroids. But, you know, the image says this guy's wild, he hasn't learned shit, he's wild, blah, 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 blah. Being wild and not learning shit is getting into a hit and run car accident or doing shit like that. And shit like that hasn't happened. That was almost 4 years ago now.
And you're fighting Gustafson on the 29th. It's the main event at UFC 232. There's a great co-main, too. Cyborg against Amanda Nunes, which is a fight that everybody kind of wants to see.
Oh yeah.
Are you more in that one point? You're going out. You're a young guy. You're the new champion. It's like you're a celebrity. Do you appreciate your career more now that you had to kind of fight to keep it? Like,
yeah.
Do you feel more grateful to be doing this and not, like, you understand what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
absolutely. I'm definitely way more grateful for my career than I used to be, for sure. Like I said, like when you do wild shit and you jeopardize your career, it's like one thing, but kind of having it taken away, like being called blindsided and saying, hey, you're stripped from your title, TMZ's getting ready to release it in about 25 minutes, you and your publicist might want to think about what your story is going to be, and you're done, you've done steroids. It's like, and in that case, I felt like it was taken from me. I felt like I did nothing wrong to lose my career in this last situation. I felt like it was taken from me. And when you get it taken from you, man, it hurts so bad. Like I said, if you've been doing dirt and you got caught, that's one thing. But when you look yourself in the mirror and you know you've never done steroids, it hurts fucking tremendously bad. And when you get it back, man, you want to do everything to protect it. Like nowadays, I don't even drink water. I don't trust people. You know, I've been doing interviews all day. I've had so many people ask, hey, do you guys want a cup of coffee? I'm not drinking your fucking coffee because I don't know. Yes. I don't know.
Yeah. I put Cialis in my own, but I want
You know what I mean? It's just, you just learn that life's not always so sweet and you got to protect yourself or people will catch you slipping, man.
And be a little more careful. Now, yeah. You sort of said that you were assisting. What does that mean? They said you were assisting with something else.
I assisted them with a lot of things. Pretty much, I had to give them full access to my life.
Okay.
And answer questions truly and honestly and under oath. You know, USADA is a government-ran agency. And so you can't lie to those guys about things. So, I totally did. You know, everything I had to do to get my job back, man.
Now, the word... Jimmy was telling me to ask this. He was asking about the word snitch.
Right.
I go, Jimmy, don't you fucking do it, Jimmy.
Right.
This guy's one of the most dangerous guys on the planet. He goes, Matt, you ask it.
Right.
Do you believe that?
But hey, listen.
Do you believe that I actually asked him to ask that?
It's all good.
I would ask it myself. I would never ask somebody to ask a question.
Listen, he's an open book. You don't give a shit.
Right.
Fodasi, man.
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
John Jones.
So the thing with the whole snitching situation, you saw it pretty much. They ask you to assist with it, you know, if you know anything in sports that has anything to do with performance enhancing. And I was grateful to be able to look them in the eyes and tell them no. You know, I know nobody in our sport that does steroids. I really don't. I have a lot of guys that I speculate, guys from other camps. I got guys from my camp that I speculate. But there's nobody in my camp that I know does steroids. And I answer that question honestly.
And I don't even know if it's snitching. Like in that where you guys could kill each other. Is it snitching if you're telling that somebody is doing something that could get somebody else killed? I don't even know if I would consider that snitching.
The whole snitching thing is just weird to me. I feel like snitching is considered snitching when you are telling on someone that you're supposed to be loyal to.
Right.
If you don't know a motherfucker, then if I tell someone, yeah. I don't know you, why am I a snitch? And what are we in? What are we in prison now? What, snitching? What are we in high school? What are we all mobsters?
Yeah.
Snitching is, I consider snitching as telling somebody that you are supposed to be loyal to, somebody who trusted you, somebody that, you know, somebody that is in your, like if I told one of these, like my manager or one of my teammates personal business, that's snitching. Yeah. If I told something I knew about Matt Sarah, me and Matt don't know each other we don't hang out every day.
That's true. So I am on TRT for the record. And I'm retired. Fodasi, man. Okay, fuck it.
But Matt, but you get what I'm saying? Me telling somebody that I'm not obligated to
100%.
That's not considered snitching. Right. You know what I mean? So, it's something that gets thrown around a lot, you know. And was I asked if I knew anything about steroids in MMA? I was asked that, and my dead honest on the record, my dead honest answer is no.
So yeah, they asked you and you answered honestly. So you don't care what the label is. If other people put it on you, it doesn't matter. Whatever they think.
It doesn't matter, dude. At the end of the day, man, like, dude, motherfuckers will do what they have to do to delegitimize somebody who's done a lot of great things in the sport. You know what I mean? And that's the position I'm in, dude. People won't just give it to me and say, hey, you know, the dude's just good at what he does. You know, people are always going to blame things and label you as things and stuff. It's the cause of being a relevant athlete in your game.
And what about, you know, the fight question, too, where you've talked about moving up to because I remember you were talking about fighting Brock, and now they're talking about DC fighting Brock at heavyweight. You're fighting Gustafson at light heavyweight. Is there any desire to move up? Because there's a few two-belt champions, and if you are to win this fight, I mean, he was a very tough fight the first time. Is there any desire for you to move up and fight at heavyweight as well?
Yeah, I would like to fight at heavyweight. I think fighting Daniel Cormier at heavyweight would be... I feel like now is the time to capture the heavyweight belt. I do believe that I have his number. I believe the only difference in me and him fighting at heavyweight would be he'd be physically a lot stronger than what I'm used to him being. I believe he'd probably punch a little harder. I believe I punch a lot harder. I do believe that if I want to capture the heavyweight championship, doing it against a guy like DC would be ideal.
You think you'd be able to do it?
I feel like I have his number, yeah.
Because you and I spoke one time and I asked you about possibly moving up to heavyweight, and you said, well, somebody who's like on the smaller side.
Yeah.
And then you called out Brock Lesnar, which I thought was really funny.
Brock Lesnar's a massive, yeah, he's a huge, scary man, but I just know the payday. I used to never think about the payday. I used to like feel like I had too much pride, like as a martial artist, we shouldn't bring up money. Or it's not traditional martial arts way to be, and all. But at the end of the day, man, we're martial artists, but it's okay to be aware of money as well. And
it's a job.
It's a job. It really is. And Conor McGregor's done a great job of showing us all that, dude. You gotta talk a little shit. You gotta know when to put a collared shirt on. You gotta know when to do all this shit. And that's where the game is turning. So now you know my psychology is to be the best, but I feel like my pride towards being the best is more serious at light heavyweight. I feel like if I were to somehow come up short at heavyweight, it's like, look how small the dude is. He tried at least, and it takes a lot of courage to be 50 pounds lighter than a dude and still challenge yourself, and that's something to be set for. But lose to light heavyweight is not acceptable to me.
Right.
Did you happen to catch over the weekend the Chuck Liddell, Tito Ortiz fight?
I saw like memes and highlights online. Okay. I haven't seen the whole thing. I heard first round knockout. Tito Ortiz.
End of the first, It was. Yeah. It
I was going to say, thoughts?
I would thoughts. Say, you know, look, I love Chuck. I didn't want to see him fight. No one ever wants to see a guy who's, was he 48 now?
Yeah,
47. I was like, he was slower, you know, but again, I think he's 8 years since his last fight. It was sad to see, because I love Liddell.
A place I would try not to be, man. You know, ideally, it'd be great to see something like what Matt's doing, you know, transitioning, using your other skills to continue being successful, you know, doing real estate, having your own gym, being able to use your voice and things like that. That's ideal. What you don't want to do is, you know, is your last fight to be you know, you not being able to take a punch and then you being some, for some reason, being back in there. I would imagine it's a financial thing.
Like Cormier's doing it right.
Where we don't want to be.
Cormier's doing it right because he's already doing broadcasting and he's good at it. Right. So he'll just step right into that.
Yeah. And that's kind of where you want to be, exactly what he's doing. You know, you can easily see him having his own gym, eventually doing commentary, broadcasting, exactly. So, you know, that's the idea for myself is to be a gym owner or just to be the trainer of a few elite athletes and give them my all, than to be past my prime and it's still in there, you know, with the young bucks.
It's so hard, I guess, for fighters. It just seemed like everyone has a couple of fights. You know, with Ali, he fights Larry Holmes, he fights Trevor Burbank. Like, these guys, it's so hard, I guess, for somebody who's in their late 30s or 40s to say, I'm done.
Well, one thing about me is I've been suspended. I've spent 3 years in suspension while in my prime. So I've been able to have that ability to ask myself and realize, who am I outside of the sport? You know, it's like, right. You know what I mean? It's like when 3 years I've spent, like 3 out of the last 5 years I've been suspended. So I have an idea of how people will treat me when I'm not John Jones, UFC fighter champion anymore. I have an idea of what will happen when I don't have any sponsorships and how money should be going and flowing and how fast I'm spending it compared to how fast I make it.
Did you learn to budget in the last couple of years?
Absolutely. Fucking absolutely I did.
Sometimes. It sucks when you have to budget, when you're used to not having to budget, and all of a sudden you have to.
I was at a point I was making over $100,000 a month in sponsorships. And when you live like that, you get used to being able to just, you don't even consider it blowing money. You just, it's all in your means. And when the money's not coming in, you definitely have to look at everything differently and just be more mature and responsible. So it's a blessing and a curse, you know, to be suspended in the middle of your career, because you really get a good picture, and it humbles you too. It's a beautiful thing, man.
I think part of it is the money thing with this, the fight that happened with Chuck and Tito. But I think part of it, like for Chuck Liddell, I think that guy just true. You said a good thing about your identity outside of the sport, and I'm not saying he doesn't have one. I don't know, but I believe him when he says he truly loves it.
Yep.
And I believe he loved, not only did he love, I saw his post fight Instagram something post, and it was, come back, put your shielder on it, and this, and you know, almost like you win some, you lose some, I got caught, and he loved every minute of it. Now he's doing the after party. I think, not that he didn't give a fuck, obviously he was probably devastated, but he just loved if you asked if you could do it again with the same outcome, I think he'd do it again.
Yeah.
I think he would love that, and I don't know if it's a great thing, as a guy that has fighters, that younger fighters that are or getting older now that still want to do it, and you know it's not right for them because their reflexes are just not there.
Yeah.
They get their lights put out, and that's something that obviously never happened to you, or even happened to, I mean, besides that back fist a few times, I never really had that. I never got my lights put out, where these guys, when you get your light put out, it's just that much quicker for it to go out again. You watched this last fight with Tito. I mean, you watched this fight with Chuck and Tito. Tito was stalking him. Stalking him.
Yeah, and
I don't want to say it was sand, because I know Chuck had a good time.
Yeah.
But I'm sorry, go ahead.
I think it's the high that he's missing. You know, Chuck Liddell is like, he's godlike in our sport. I mean, he's a big reason why I considered mixed martial arts. I was out in college in Iowa Central Community College, and I went to this townie party, and Chuck Liddell was the first UFC fight I ever saw. And I'd never seen a bunch of grown men just marvel over another person like this. Yeah. And that's when I realized what this sport can be. And you know, Chuck Liddell, man, he's you know, even an old version, man, fans are fired up about Chuck. Whenever I talk about fighting Chuck, people come at me, hardcore fans come at me like, don't you ever disrespect the legend. Or you respect your elders, respect the pioneers. And you know, Chuck, you know, so just to be back in the scene and to wear a fresh mohawk and to have people screaming his name and the walkout and the after party, I'm sure he missed being at that level of everything. And I'm happy for him that he got to feel it one more time, because it's really a beautiful thing.
And he had a job at the UFC for a long time, and then he didn't have one once the was sold. And I wonder if that affected him at all, too, because even though he wasn't fighting, he would still come into the arena and the whole place would explode when Chuck walked in. It was still something. It's not fighting, but I mean, he had some kind of an income and some kind of an attachment to the UFC. He was in charge of some type of whatever it was, player relation. Fighter relation or something.
And I wonder what his relationship is now, because he's not even under the UFC banner anymore. I wonder how Dana White feels about him representing I mean, because he's a UFC household name, and what is he? What did he fight under now? Bellator.
It might have been Bellator.
No, that was Oscar
De La Hoya's thing, right? I'm sure. I think Dana lets you know, like after Demetrius Johnson just left and Eddie Alvarez left, you know, Dana goes, "Hey, look, more power to you if you can make money." He seems to understand that after a certain point, if you have to go and make the money, you know, go make it.
But he cares. He doesn't want Chuck fighting at all because he cares for him personally.
Right.
He's a friend, so he doesn't. And it's hard to dispute. Like, I mean, listen, it's a weird thing to talk about, because, like, you hear guys saying, "Well, any grown man should be, you know, that's fine. It's his choice. It's his body and it's his life." That's true. But don't you, if you care about the guy, don't you want him to be able to throw the ball around with his kid in a couple of years?
Absolutely.
I mean, you
got
to look at it like that. I mean, nobody's talking about that. I heard some guys talking about it that I respect, and they're like, "Well, it's, you know, it's his life and yada, yada. And every man should be, okay, that's great. Now, you must not give a fuck about the guy, because right. I've got fighters under me. And I've talked about this with you off air, Jimmy. And you know, they want to continue to fight, and you know they shouldn't fight.
Right.
You know, if you throw that water bottle at their face, it's going to bop, bang, it's going to bounce off their head before they go to reach for it. That's the problem. I mean, that's what's going on here, you know. I seen a thing at Chuck Liddell and Tito at the weigh-in. I just saw it this morning, and it showed Chuck, Tito flicked his belly a little bit. I think if it was Chuck back in the day, the second he touched his belly, smacked that fucking thing.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You see him like do a little beep, 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 beep. Chuck's looking at him, and then afterwards Chuck, and I love Chuck, I'm not attacking him,
right.
But then he kind of looks down, and he's like, oh, okay, you know, although I could be a little fat there. I don't think it registered right away that he's fucking touching his belly. I'm not, listen, I'm fucking, can I just do that to boo myself?
No.
I love Chuck, I'm not being a dick.
Now you notice.
No, you could be onto
but
something.
But these are things that I noticed, and I'm like, come on, man. And I just think he loved that. And when you saw, they asked about retiring, and he said something about, well, he doesn't want to think about it yet, but at least he's going to be back in the gym because he enjoyed being back. If not training for himself, he's going to be helping training other people. So I think he just likes, like Rocky, just carrying the buckets. They just want to be around it.
And you also said too, John, you said that you wouldn't address him on Twitter anymore because I guess, is it that you felt like, all right, there's nothing, we're not going to fight.
Yeah, it was so funny, dude. It's because the Chuck Liddell fans actually viciously attacked me about that. Somebody wrote me, "You're such an asshole for even saying that." I just can't win. Fuck you.
Yeah, I mean, Chuck's a fighter. He can handle it.
I'm not gonna do that with him anymore. Because it's like he's Chuck Liddell. So because he's a legend, you get a response from me when you call me out. You know what I mean? You're not an up and comer. You're a fucking legend. So it's like, I'm not replying to just anybody. You're Chuck Liddell. I don't care how old you are.
Yeah, if he calls you out, you have to. It's almost disrespectful to ignore him.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, motherfucker, you still knock out probably 70% of the people walking around out here. So I'm going to take you seriously when you talk about wanting to fight against me. But after seeing what just happened with him and Tito, it's like, dude, now I'm being an asshole. Now that I see what you got left, now I'm just being an asshole by even entertaining fighting.
If you do that, yeah, because I mean, there's like a 17-year difference or 16-year difference between you guys. What do you think of the rest of the division? I mean, it's changed a lot.
It has.
It's Anthony Smith. I mean, Dominic Reyes was there obviously, but he's making a lot more noise now.
Yeah.
Still undefeated.
Yeah.
So there's some interesting prospects at light heavyweight if you do beat Gustafson.
Yeah. We got Anthony Smith and Dominic Reyes both coming up. You know, it's weird when you be a fighter. You know, my real personality, honestly, is I'm pretty humble, modest dude. But I understand that right now I'm talking in front of an interview, you know, and I'm at work, and people want to hear the fighter side of me, right, and be, you know, extra cocky and confident and all that. And so that's what I'm going to give you guys. And I'll say that I don't think either one of them are ready. I see major holes in both of their games. I think Anthony Smith may be closer to title contention, and I'd be really excited to fight him. I think that's probably who I should be fighting now as a warm up fight over Alexander Gustafsson. I just feel like he's just definitely not ready. His last fight, he got tooled on the ground by Volkan, and Volkan is a striker. And, you know, to have a striker take your back and ground and pound you from the back position for that long is just like. You get a wrestler like me on your back, dude. Somebody's gonna be looking for rear naked to put hooks in. Somebody's looking to really hurt you. He's not ready.
And Uzdemir, by the way, Matt, had the same thing happen when he fought DC. You know, DC said that there's levels to this game, and then was it the end of the first round? Was it the second round?
You got to be real, man. You got to, man. Joe Rogan told me when Joe Rogan recently came out and was talking about when me and him smoked weed together in his hotel room, which is a true story, and. And he was absolutely right. He told me something the night I beat Stephen Bonner. He told me, he said, John, I've seen many young, dynamic, athletic dudes come through here. He said, John, you won't be shit. He said it right to my face. He said, you're not going to be shit unless you embrace what it means to be a mixed martial arts fighter. He said, I see people get cut every year. He said, if you don't get your jiu-jitsu down, dude, and get pride and grappling, and it's like, you're not going to make it. Yeah, do you do flashy techniques and do you have good wrestling and throws? Yeah, but you got to embrace the whole thing of what it means to be a mixed martial artist. And that's what a lot of people aren't doing. And that's what's giving me a lot of hope and faith. Even though I'm getting older, I see a lot of these light heavyweights with no ground game, and I'm just like, well, that's my path for career longevity right there. Kind of like how GSP just started taking down people and nobody could get out, and people called him boring towards the end of his career, but he was continuing to win. It's like there's a huge avenue in the light heavyweight division still that people don't have a ground game. So. Hey,
your elbows, nobody. Who's the kid that just fought, Kid Walker?
Yeah, Johnny Walker.
Johnny Walker, yeah. who threw elbows. He's the only guy I've seen use elbows like you. I don't know if you saw that fight. It was I think his UFC debut.
Yeah, it was.
But yeah, there's a few guys there in the division. But I'd rather see you move up to heavyweight after you fight Usman. Just there's so many great fights at heavyweight.
Yeah, there are. They're definitely high risk, high reward fights for sure.
Now you strangled Dan Henderson in a grappling match?
We caught him with a head and arm.
A head and arm choke.
Uh-huh.
I love the head and arm choke.
That's a good one.
I love it. Not always for short and stocky guys, because I use my chest with it. When you do it, do you when you do the like a Monteleone and hold your own ear or his head? Because you got those long arms. I go palm to palm.
Yeah, we go palm to palm, yeah, too. Yeah, palm to palm, get my head right next to his and just
push him. People don't talk about that. I mean, he fucking strangled Dan Henderson.
Which was
Dan Henderson.
Really strong bastard, by the way.
He is.
Yeah. But you know what? I shouldn't get too much credit for that. You know, I'm a lot younger than him, and I was a little heavier than he was, too. So.
But still,
Dan Henderson's a respectable guy. It's a good one for your resume, for sure.
With your jiu-jitsu coach here, Roberto, do you have him wearing a gi at all?
You got his blue belt,
yes. Now, let me see. The importance. Hold on. Come here, man. Get in here. Get right in here. Get close to this.
Let's go here.
I like to talk about this, especially with a Jedi. The gi. The importance of the gi. Don't you think it's still important, even for guys doing MMA? Or no? Are you not a gi guy at all?
No, definitely, definitely. I believe the gi would help you know to tighten it up your game. You know, to really know where you have to go to escape or move. You know, counting on the slipperiness. You know, the luck. You know, the
especially
scrambling.
Athletic guys like John. It could possibly be like just slowing them down for guys that are not as athletic, and that gets his game better. Do you make him wear a gi at all? Or no, I'm putting you in the hot seat.
We're pushing him. Yeah,
a little bit.
We always wish they can wear more, but yes. Once we in training camp, we just have to. Focus on a game plan, you know.
I'll tell you when I started working with Tusa was when I realized the importance was when my Vitor Belfort fight. One of the first things he taught me was what I did wrong in that armbar with Vitor Belfort.
Hold on. Did he tell you not to hold around his hand, or did he tell? I don't know.
Well, he told me to actually
tell me.
Instinctually, when Vitor got me in that armbar, I tried to pull out.
Yes.
You know, like I had my arm in hot water. I just wanted to pull it out right away. And that actually helped him out a lot.
Yeah.
What I needed to do was stack him on top of his head, you know, and try to bring his hips to his head, you know what I mean? And crush it down and then develop control that way instead of pull out. So he's been great, man. I'm actually really surprised at what I've been able to do on the ground without him.
Yeah.
And I'm really excited for the future opponents to see what I'm actually capable of on the ground now, outside of just, you know, ground and pound.
I believe it was your first fight with DC. The last 10 seconds, you went for a flying triangle, if I remember correctly.
Right, yeah,
right or wrong?
Yeah, I tried
that's
to pull
fucking
guard.
Awesome.
Yeah, I definitely enjoy pulling guard. I got a lot of submissions. You know, our psychology and jiu-jitsu a lot of times is trying not to do things that lands us on our backs. You know, like keep a dominant position when you have a dominant position. But in situations where I do pull guard, oftentimes it's when I know my opponent is in a desperate spot and looking for that, you know, last 10-second haymaker type of thing. And so that's when I pull guard, because it's very hard to knock somebody out from their guard. You know what I mean? It takes
especially special, you're a long body like that.
Right,
in constant danger. They're going to have to keep their arms tight and whatnot to get in trouble if they just go to swing on you.
Yeah.
And before we let you go, John, because I know you have you have other press. I just wanted, you said it at the first fight, the Gustafson fight is, of course, the 29th of December. This is the rematch from, I guess, 2013 was the first one, which was, you said at the end it was a war.
It was
the hardest fight you ever had. It's one of the best mixed martial arts fights I've ever seen. Did you? You said you didn't train as hard as you should have. Have you trained harder for this fight?
Yeah, absolutely. The first time I fought Alexander Gustafsson, you know, people, I was getting used to people saying things like, "Yo, he's a lot like John Jones, man. He just, with better hands and better footwork, you know." And everyone was just saying that he was like a Swedish version of me, you know. And in my head, I was thinking, well, yeah, he's tall and he has his, you know, he has a presence about him. But he's not me, you know. There's only one me, and it was almost an arrogance that I had, feeling like I was a product, and he was like the knockoff version of me. And what he showed me was that, you know, hard work can beat talent when talent isn't working hard, and that's such a true thing. Going into round two, I found myself exhausted. I've been watching this fight nonstop lately because of preparing to fight him again, and I'm watching myself, and it just wasn't who I am, dude. I'm known to pick it up in championship rounds, and this fight, I was exhausted going into round two, like exhausted. So I know I wasn't doing the right things. I was in the heyday of my partying around that time in my life, and now I know what he's capable of, and I'll treat him as such. I'll treat him. And train for him the way that it's supposed to be.
Well, we're happy you're back. This Gustafsson fight is a really, really anticipated rematch. And I love you being in the UFC. So I hope that from here on out, everything is good and you continue fighting for a long time, man.
Thanks, Nori.
I love you being in studio.
Yeah, thanks, it's good to be here. It's great to be here.
Thanks for hanging out too, buddy. Thank you. Awesome.
All right, we'll break, pee, take pictures, and be right back. Awesome. Thanks, John.
Thanks, John.
Yeah, baby.
Hey, buddy.
What's up, my man? How are you?
Good. We weren't sure we were going to get you. You know, Matt already left, so I'm glad I was here and able to take the call.
Awesome. Thank you.
We had John on today, which was nice to see John. He looks very, very focused. How are you feeling about this Gustafsson fight coming up?
I'm feeling good about it. You know, I want to hear that John is focused and training and ready to go and, you know, I'm excited for him to come back. And obviously that fight is, you know, the greatest light heavyweight title fight ever, and I expect the second one to be great, too.
Yeah, I mean, it was 2013, and John said he hadn't trained as hard as he should have for that first one, and he thought his career was over. Isn't it weird now to see him coming back and fight? Because I'll be honest, at one point, I did not think he'd fight the Octagon again.
I didn't either. I didn't either. I agree with you, and yeah. And, you know, he's had to overcome some serious demons to get back here. And, you know, just hoping he stays on the straight and narrow and makes it to the fight.
But yes, and by the way, buddy, I saw you in Vegas, and I do know how to keep a secret, because you told me Adesanya, Anderson Silva, and I wanted to do nothing more than run my big fat fucking mouth, but I didn't say it. So you've actually made that happen now? That is official?
Yeah, I flew out to Australia. I sat down with Israel, talked to him. Then I flew to LA and sat down with Anderson and talked to him and finally got it done. I figured stylistically this fight's so fun. And even if you look at Anderson Silva, you know, as old as he is and everything that's going on, still, I mean, look at his fight against Daniel Cormier. He hurt Cormier to the body. He's still a super talented guy. He loves martial arts. He stays in shape, and he stayed in shape this whole time. So, you know, it's going to be fun.
And I'll be honest, one of the good things, too, because I love Israel Adesanya, is that this is a way to get him into a co-main event, because that's a big fight for him and against a legend like Anderson Silva. This is actually a legitimate co-main event.
Oh, yeah, it's an incredible co-main event. I mean, Israel's on fire. I mean, this kid is looks so damn good. His fight with Derek Brunson was unbelievable. Looked completely dominant against, you know, a guy who has heavy hands and is such a good wrestler. And, you know, when you look at Israel fight, all you can think is, man, imagine him and Anderson Silva.
Yeah, he looks like a younger version of Silva. It'll be interesting to see, because Silva's a bigger guy, so it'll be interesting to see how they handle each other and how Anderson fights a slightly faster version of himself.
I agree. I love this fight. I personally wanted to see this fight myself, and makes all the sense in the world. I love it.
And, you know, we talked to Ben Askren the other day. We haven't spoken to you since the big trade, which you pulled it off. It happened. What are your thoughts on Ben Askren? And is he fighting Robbie Lawler? Has that been confirmed?
Yes.
It is.
He's fighting Robbie Lawler. You know, the kid called me a few months ago and said, what are the odds of me coming to the UFC? I said, I don't know. What's going on with your contract over there? And he said, well, I think they'll let me go. Of course, they're not going to let him go.
Right.
So over the last several months, we've figured out a way to get him here. He's undefeated. Obviously, a lot of people want to see him fight the best in the world. And now we're going to get that opportunity. So I'm glad it worked out.
Is Demetrius leaving? You know, because TJ said something about coming down and how you're paying him to kind of you're paying a fuck ton of money to kill the flyweight division. Is Demetrius leaving and TJ fighting Cejudo some type of a bad sign possibly for the flyweight division?
Who said I paid a fuckload of money to kill the division?
That was TJ Dillashaw said they paid me a fuck ton of money to kill the flyweight division.
I don't even know what that means, but yeah, no. Listen, TJ Dillashaw didn't do shit to the flyweight division. You know, the flyweight division just never took off and never caught on. Even with a dominant champion like Demetrius, it just never caught on. People didn't care. I battled for a long time. I tried to keep it alive, and obviously it's still going on now. We still have fights going on in that division. But we'll see. We'll see what the future holds for it.
Okay, maybe that's what he meant. Maybe he said coming down and beating the champion. I'm not sure what he meant, but he did say that.
Maybe that's what he meant, that he's going to beat Cejudo and kill the division.
Now, the president of ONE, whose name I cannot pronounce, he said recently that there's going to be more MMA trades in the future. Is there anything like that's on the horizon or anybody you're interested in from there?
No, there's nothing else going on. I think that, you know, what happened was this was the only way to get this deal done. It made sense. And I've made offers to other organizations, too. I've made offers that haven't panned out. But, it's something that you can do. It's interesting. And in this scenario, it worked out really well, I think, for both of us.
Now, do you want to say who you tried to get that couldn't get?
No, it's not that I was trying to get somebody. I made an offer to another organization.
Oh.
And, they didn't take it.
I was happy for, Francis Ngannou, did not see a first round knockout of Curtis Blaydes. I guess you must be happy to see him kind of right the ship a little bit.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't see that coming either, but, you know, Francis has that power. I watched the fight. I think it was premature. I think they could have let that go a little bit longer. Curtis jumped back up and seemed all right. And with the heavyweights, you never know. Some of the greatest fights we've ever seen, are when you let the fight go. Bigfoot Silva and Mark Hunt, one of the most incredible fights I've ever seen, period, let alone heavyweight. Dan Henderson and Shogun.
Yeah.
And the list goes on and on. I could rattle off 1,000 of them. But
Pat Barry, Czech Congo. I mean, Matt, I think, mentioned that one as well.
Pat Barry, Czech Congo.
You know, I had mixed feelings about it just because he knocked him down 3 times, and Blaydes did kind of jump up fast, but he wasn't really defending, and his arms were on the floor, and Ngannou's giant fucking hands hit, and maybe the ref thought he was in worse shape than he was in. I don't know.
Yeah, no, it's true. I got my guys here who, you know, matchmakers think it was a good stoppage.
And before we get, I wanted to obviously ask you about a couple of things in the heavyweight division. But we had John in here today, and he said, I asked him about the Liddell Twitter thing because he said now he's not going to address Chuck on Twitter anymore. And I'm taking it you did see that fight. I'm not sure if you watched it.
I was up in my house in Maine. I saw it on the internet, on the social media the next day.
We're talking, of course, about Chuck Liddell and Tito Ortiz, and obviously they I'm sure Chuck wanted to do that fight in the UFC. How do you feel about that fight going on?
Listen, I love Chuck Liddell, and I don't ever want to badmouth Chuck Liddell or even, you know, people even think I'm remotely badmouthed to Chuck Liddell. But the reality is, first of all, let's say this first. I heard last week the cokehead, Oscar De La Weirdo, is talking shit that I don't have any place to tell guys when to retire. You know, I don't tell friends when. First of all, it's called friendship. Friendship, you fucking cokehead. I've been friends with Chuck Liddell, for 20 years. And the reality is that Chuck Liddell retired when he should have retired, 8-9 years ago, however long it was. And Chuck Liddell's almost 50 years old and has no business fighting anymore. And the fact that the state of California even let that fight happen is disgusting. Disgusting. Chuck Liddell has an incredible legacy. He's a huge superstar in this sport. So of course, as a friend, anybody who claims to be a friend of Chuck Liddell and was anywhere near this fight is full of shit. They're not a friend of Chuck Liddell. To let him go in and fight this fight is terrible.
And it's not a case. It's not a case of you telling him to retire early. Obviously you guys were very close, and you don't want to see him get hurt.
The problem is Chuck Liddell is a fighter. Chuck Liddell loves to fight. That's his passion. It's what he loves in life. You know, but there comes a day and age. Fighting is a young man's game. You can't do it. You know, and Oscar fucking De La Hoya says, come over to Golden Boy where we respect the fighters, and it makes me sick what these fighters were paid and all this shit. Out of 14 fights on the card, 5 bouts were amateur fights, which means he didn't pay him jack shit, right?
Right.
And 12 of the professional fighters on the card made less than 3-3. What the fuck are you talking about, you cokehead junkie? And some of the guys on the card made $1,000 and $1,000. And you know what? He respects the fighters so much, he couldn't even remember their fucking names at the press conference.
Yeah, he was saying that, imagine if you would have told George Foreman or Bernard Hopkins, but those guys are very, very rare exceptions. How about Meldrick Taylor or what happened to Ali? There's so many more cases of fighters who get hurt badly and who wind up in terrible shape by fighting too long than the very, very rare exceptions who make it through okay.
Exactly. I hope somebody talks De La Hoya into fighting again, okay? I hope the state of California makes the fight. And I hope he gets fucking knocked out just like Chuck Liddell did in the first round. Fucking cokehead nutball.
Well, you know, Tito even said afterwards that he would not have let Chuck fight.
Yeah. Tito and Oscar De La Dummy were made for each other, man. Those two fucking nutheads. First of all, Tito says, hey, you guys want to get paid? Come over to Golden Boy MMA. Are you kidding me? Hey, my brother, wait a couple months till this whole thing pans out. Everybody's going to be suing everybody in a couple months. There was no money made over there. De La Hoya is a moron, an absolute moron. And I don't know how Chuck allowed himself to be talked into this stupid shit.
You know, it's probably just one of those things where he wanted to fight and Oscar De La Hoya told him what he wanted to hear.
Yeah, I agree with you, unfortunately.
Have you talked to Chuck at all in the lead-up or since the fight? Have you guys spoken?
I did. I talked to him before the fight, but I haven't talked to him since. You know, I'm at least going to give the guy a couple days, and I'll give him a call this week.
Yeah, I mean, when he says something like, well, who's to tell fighters? I mean, that's like saying, why have a ref? Who's to tell fighters when they're not knocked out? I mean, you know, there are people around you who kind of have to look out.
Well, you know who tells a fighter when it's time to hang up? His friend. That's who tells him when it's time to hang it up.
That's right.
His friend does.
Joe told, there's a famous, where Joe and Brendan Schaub were talking, and Joe told him, look, I don't know if you can do this anymore. And it's, I'm sure, a very hard conversation to have with a guy that you respect, but the fact that you care about him has got to come above possibly hurting his feelings or pissing him off.
100%. 100%.
Do you think this is purely financial for Chuck, or do you think that there was a combination of just wanting to get in there again? Because 8 years is a long layoff.
Listen, Chuck Liddell is a fighter, man. Chuck, when I asked Chuck to retire, he didn't want to either. You know, he should have retired when he did, and he should have stayed retired. But like the cokehead said, you know, Chuck's a grown man and can do whatever he wants to do. But that's when the state of California has to step in and protect the fighter from himself.
Yeah, and didn't De La Hoya at first, wasn't he knocking the whole Conor Floyd thing? And then after he saw how popular it was, that he said he wanted to step in and fight Conor?
Yeah, no, that's what started this whole thing with me and him. I had always liked Oscar, respected him, you know, talked about his fights and stuff. Then the guy comes out and starts ripping Conor McGregor versus Floyd. Then as soon as the fight's over, he says now he wants to fight Conor McGregor. This guy needs to check himself into rehab immediately.
Do you think that's what
he's
it is?
He's standing up at a press conference, rubbing his hands, talking about how cold he is, and that he doesn't know any of the fighters, doesn't know any of their names. The main event. He doesn't even know how to say Chuck Liddell.
What do you think he's doing in MMA? Do you think it's just the way he's a little late and he figures he can make money off it? Or
I think he's snorting a ton of cocaine. And Google him. Google him. I think he's snorting a ton of cocaine and doing a lot of other things. And then, you know, I don't even think he's involved in any of this stuff. I think there's a bunch of people behind the scenes who really do all the work and put this together for him. He snorts about 12 pounds of coke when he gets up in the morning and just shows up where they tell him to show up.
I love you. Yeah, I mean, it is weird to hear him try to get into the, it seems like to get into it and then just say how and then stay on the other side and try to be a competitor. He just wants to get into the game, and he's probably a little bit too late.
It's not even that he's too late. He's not smart enough to get into the game. He's not smart enough, and he doesn't have the work ethic. This guy's a total, he's doing other things. He's doing recreational things that are keeping him from even thinking about competing. You know what I mean? You show up to a press conference, at the very least, I'll give you this one, at least know how to say the main event's name, okay?
Yeah.
Let alone, he literally lines up a bunch of guys behind him. He's like, yeah, I don't really know any of these guys or their names. Well, how about you write it down on a fucking piece of paper, you dope?
Yeah.
Okay? Write it down on a piece of paper and read the piece of paper. You know?
Well, you know.
This guy has no shame. He's unbelievable. I just, some of the things that this guy has done, I would disappear and you'd never see me again. He doesn't give a shit. He jumps right back up there talking in front of the media. He's hilarious.
Well, hopefully Chuck, you know, and again, I love Chuck too. He's one of the first fighters I ever interviewed. I have a lot of respect for Chuck. He's a legend. And again, these guys, it's very hard for them to step away. I'm sure like the rush of walking in, you know, when he used to come out, even at events, when I'd see him, when he had a job for UFC, just whenever he walked into the arena, the place would explode. And it's gotta be very hard for guys to walk away from that, but
yeah, it's very hard. And one of the things that, again, bums me out is my thing was, there's no way first of all, I don't want to make $1 of this kind of money.
Right.
I do not. I've said that since day one. You know, when I mean day one, 17 years ago. Number two is my backup, which I was hoping is no major state will sanction this fight. That's not going to happen. Because all the big states like Nevada, California, New York, whatever, they have athletic commissions. No athletic commission, major athletic commission is going to sanction this fight. Wrong. Yeah.
Did they
so
try?
I was hoping this thing would end up, you know, they're going to be in, you know, Kentucky somewhere trying to make this fight and the fight would never come off. I didn't know Kentucky, California was going to happen. I didn't see that coming.
Dana, did they try it in New York or in Vegas? Or?
They didn't have to. They were the Oscar De La knucklehead and California took it immediately. California didn't even blink at that fight.
Yeah, and you
are you kidding me? How many first round knockouts has Tito? How many knockouts has Tito had in his career? Standing knockouts like that? None. Chuck Liddell should have never been in that fight. All the fans were talking about it leading up to the just watching footage. Did anybody from the athletic commission show up to watch him spar or anything like that? It's just it's terrible, man.
You know, and the fans love Chuck, and I think one reason even fans still want to see somebody fight, it's almost like when you want to see your favorite band, a reunion. Watching them reminds you of how you were 10 years ago, too. So it brings people back, and it's a spectacle, and people are like, hey, if he's still fighting, then I'm not as old as I thought I was. But the UFC could have made probably a good money off doing this fight, and you guys obviously declined it because, like you said, you don't want to make money on that.
Never.
Well, hopefully,
never, man.
Hopefully he's okay.
And the thing is, for a guy like Chuck, obviously took some damage in the fight, but what kind of damage did he take training for that fight, leading up to that fight? It just makes me sick, man. Makes me absolutely sick.
And Dana, before we let you go, can we ask you also, I meant to ask before, Sage Northcutt, is there any update on Sage and where he may be winding up?
Yeah, no, Sage is, you know, we let Sage go. Sage is young, and Sage needs... Sage needs some work, so let him get some work in one of these other organizations, and we'll see where this kid ends up in a couple of years, and, you know, maybe we'll pick him back up again.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Okay, so Sage has been he's been allowed to go, and good luck to him. Okay.
Yeah, his contract was up. Yep, so we let him go.
Okay, well, obviously you got to be psyched. And one more question I wanted to ask you, too, about Brock and DC, everybody is talking about. I mean, is that something that looks like it's going to happen?
I hope so. That's the fight that DC wants. You know, Cormier's been an amazing champion for us. He's an incredible guy. I could not say enough good things about this guy. This is the fight he wants. I want to give him what he wants.
You know, there's some, the light heavyweight division, though, and I told John this before, is a lot more interesting now than it was even 6 or 8 months ago. So if John stays at light heavyweight, you know, there's, again, Dominic Reyes may not be ready, or Anthony Smith, but there's some really good fights for him. Maybe Volkan Ozdemir.
Yeah, I agree. I think that the light heavyweight division is fun right now and getting better. And then the middleweight division is awesome and heating up. It's good stuff. And obviously, you know, I'm excited for Colby Covington and Woodley. You know, I want to see this fight with Askren and Lawler. Usman is fighting Rafael Dos Anjos this weekend, this Friday, on the tough finale. So all the divisions are popping. Fucking Holloway versus Ortega. You know what I mean? I can't wait for that fight.
Yeah, when is Woodley? When is Woodley fighting Covington?
I don't know. We're working on that. Ideally, I would love to do that in Anaheim, January 26th. That would be awesome if I could pull that off.
Yeah, that's the fight that I'm really wanting to see. Well, dude, it's good talking to you. I'm really glad we got a hold of you today. And, you know, I just wanted to throw a few things at you, so I really appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, my brother. Take care.
All right, pal. Talk to you soon.
Bye.
UFC featherweight contender Brian Ortega loves the fight, loves the strategy. You know what else he loves?
I know what he loves, Jimmy. What? I know exactly what he loves.
Max Holloway. Wait, no.
Oh, Toyo Tires.
He's like T-City, Toyo Tires. They're as tough as they come, and they are the official tire of the UFC. There is a lot to love about Toyo Tires. Aggressive design, proven on- and off-road capabilities. They have tires for any weather and the toughness to back it all up.
Yes.
There's a confidence that comes with tough tires. You know, a little wimpy, awful tires. So no matter what you're driving, no matter where you're driving, you can count on Toyo Tires. Tough people love tough tires. If you're tough, these are the tires for you.
Oh, Toyo Tires! Nick, sorry.
That's okay.
Sorry. Nick, I love Toyo Tires. They're built tough. Toyo Tires!
The next time you need tires, ask for Toyo, the official tires of the UFC for a reason. Learn more at toyotires.com/UFC. toyotires.com/UFC.
Brian Ortega loves Toyo Tires.
After a stressful game, it's only natural to need some well-deserved rest. Upgrade your current sleep situation because Mattress Firm is offering the best bed deal of the year. Get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price for savings of up to $700. Plus, take home a free adjustable base up to a $699 value. That's $699 for free. You'll only find these deals during Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale. So don't miss your chance to start sleeping like a pro. Shop now at mattressfirm.com/sale. There's nothing worse than being uncomfortable in bed. It's horrible. You're not rested the next day. You suck at work. Mattress Firm's Memorial Day sale is offering the best bed deal of the year. Save up to $700 when you get a king bed for a queen price or a queen bed for a twin price. Plus, take home a free adjustable base that's up to a $699 value free. Visit mattressfirm.com/sale for more details.
What up, everybody? This is CJ McCollum from the Portland Trailblazers. And here's a little taste of what we talked about on this week's Pull Up Podcast. Very special mini post-Game 7 episode of Pull Up. An epic Game 7 in Denver.
37 points, back-to-back, essentially closeout buckets. Why were you so successful last night?
I think it just really came down to my demeanor and mindset. Empty the clip, leave nothing out there. I wanted to say I did everything in my power, and I left all my bullets out there on the court and didn't bring anything home.
How do you shift to a completely new animal, an absolute monster in the Warriors?
In the playoffs, it just comes down to X's and O's and execution more so than anything else. The Warriors aren't going to run a lot of plays. They're going to run a lot of misdirection out of timeouts and late clock situations. But most of it's going to be mid pick and roll. It's going to be pin downs and flares and things of that nature for Klay and Steph in a lot of transition. So you have to guard the 3-point line, get back in transition, and make it as difficult as possible on them. Don't forget to
pull up.
Subscribe and listen every week on Apple Podcasts or wherever you get your shows.
Now, Max Holloway may be here in a couple of days.
Yes.
Who I also do love. That's going to be an amazing fight. But right now, let's talk a little bit, Matt, about... it was good previewing Gustafson Jones with John. But it was... let's talk a little bit about this past...
And later on, I want to talk about some... it's not a movie minute, but it's a new series I'm watching. And I'm going to talk about it later. I'm so excited about it. It's really fun. I'm going to keep everybody in suspense.
Okay. Now, let's talk about this... let's talk about this card and who got what right. I know the one I got wrong.
Oh. Yeah. Oh. 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 Okay, I'm with you. Oh, yeah. Up. Oh. Are we starting? What are we starting from?
Ling Jilong, right?
Oh.
Yeah, correct.
Ling Jilong against David Zawada.
Fun fight.
Yeah, a great fight.
Oh, performance of the night, I guess.
I believe it was Zawada's first fight in the UFC. Am I wrong?
I think he had won before that. Yeah, he had a split decision.
And Jilong, I thought, was losing the first round. I think in the second round, he came back. He got knocked down, I think, in the first round. Oh, and then rounds two and three, he was amazing. Correct. Especially round three.
First of all, what a fun fight. Say it again?
Jilong.
Li Jilong. Right?
Yes, and he always has an exciting fight.
He always does. That first round, I'm watching David Zawada. And Zawada's throwing everything at him but the kitchen sink and landing. And he won that first round.
Yes, he did.
He won that first round.
Yes, he did.
He threw everything at him. But I think he had such a high volume that it cost him. Because by the second round, you know, after that first round, Zawada's like, oh, shit, what else do I have to do?
Yeah, because he does not stop coming.
So what do you want from me? What do you want?
What's wrong with that? It was cute.
Sorry. So anyway, so... Li Jinglong, that dude was getting better. I like him. Yeah. I like him a lot. And he could take a punch. And then he was just going after it, man. And he got stronger as the fight went on. And it looks like it's going the distance. And then booyah, 407 around three.
Yep.
It's done.
I had tremendous faith in Li Jinglong. Now,
what did we pick?
By the way, Matt, you said fight of the night, no problem, but it was performance of the night for Li Jinglong.
Performance of the night, ooh-ah, 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 Jinglong.
Matt, you had Li by decision.
Okay, I was close.
Getting there.
Yeah.
I had Li Jinglong by second round knockout, so I get 2 points for that. Jim Norton, on the money, Li Jinglong third round knockout.
Yeah, because I know that he gets stronger as the fight goes on, and I figured this guy might, not gasp, but I didn't think this guy would have it.
No, and you know what? I think being at home, Li Jinglong maybe was a little tighter than he would normally be going into that first round, and then he kind of like loosened up as he got into the fight.
You know? Now, Yudong Song against, he trained with the fucking monks, with those Shaolin monks in China.
Yeah.
And he went there to learn martial arts, and they said that's why he has a lot of explosive, quick movement. Really a fun guy to watch. He beat Vincent Morales it was a unanimous decision, 30-27. I don't know did I agree 30-27? Mm. I don't know why I thought maybe 29-28. For some reason, I'm thinking that Morales won one of those rounds. I don't remember which one.
Yeah, I think it was the third round where Morales showed a little bit. He came out a little bit more aggressive, but I think Song Yudong obviously won the fight.
You know?
Very short, compact puncher.
Sure.
Vince was landing some, but it really had no effect. I mean, I'm like, oh, he landed some nice on Song, and then Song's like, I don't think so. And he was just pressuring him. I thought there should have been a little bit more urgency. And I know Tony Frickland, his trainer, Vince Morales' trainer. I know him. He's an old school guy from Pat Miletich's. Nice dude. Very nice guy. And he seems like they have a nice bond, a good training thing going on. But should have picked it up more. I know he's talking about plan two and what's plan B or whatever. And then he goes, remind me. And he's telling him And it's all good, but I feel there should have been more urgency in that last round because he needed something big. If not a 10-8, if not a stoppage, a 10-8 round, you got to go after this guy, man. Yep. I like the technical advice. That's great. But say, listen, I think Vince even brought up, like, I need this one. He's like, yeah, you need it. No, you 5 minutes of hell.
Yeah.
5 minutes of fury, Jimmy. That's what he needed.
Yeah.
You know. Came up a little short.
It was still a very, very good fight. He did, you know, he didn't embarrass himself. I thought if he won one round, maybe the third.
Right.
Now, so what do we all have on Song Morales?
So I had Song Yadong by second round knockout. Obviously, it ended up going to decision, but we got that right. Matt, you had third round knockout for Song Yadong. And Jim Norton again, Song Yadong by decision. All 3 points.
Jimmy's staring at me now. Can't help it. Why are you getting all cocky, Jimmy?
Can't help it.
Yeah. Sorry. And by, for the record, people, Jimmy did not. Jimmy wasn't afraid to bring up that snitching question to John Jones.
I don't care if the audience thinks I was afraid. I just want John to think I was.
Okay.
I like John. I'll ask anybody.
I just wanted to bring that up because we got to, you know, you got to get rid of that rumor.
Yeah, you
know?
It was good.
Well, you can't do that, you know. And I thought he had a great answer. Like, look, man, he basically said, you know, if you're not a friend of mine, hey, what the fuck? Anyway, let's go. What do we got?
Let's go to another one. What do we got? Let's go to another one that I got right.
Oh, God.
That's absolutely correct.
Wow, I did pretty, really, pretty.
Boy, did I know this one.
Holy shit, dude. First of all, Overeem's fucking ground and pound was fucking... I'll tell you right now, that's about as nasty as ground and pound. If anybody goes, all right, MMA, what's ground and pound? Which it's kind of... You know, the guy must, somebody must be a moron if they're asking that because it's kind of.
What could it be?
Well, give me a demonstration of ground and pound. That's what I would show them. This. And dude, you heard that from, you probably heard that from the nosebleeds.
Well, oh, what's crazy though, it's like, you're absolutely right. That is a prime example of what ground and pound is. But if you go back to Overeem's last fight, Curtis Blaydes dropping elbows on him, that's also, I mean, it went the opposite way for him in his last fight, which is another great example of ground and pound. Well, but man, he came back with a vengeance in this one.
He certainly did, and he looked tremendous. And I knew he would, because again, Sergey Pavlovich fought very tough guys, but he has not fought anybody with the experience or the fucking legs of Alistair Overeem. And he used his knees a little bit in the clinch up against the fence. But I knew Overeem was going to put him away in the first round. He's just too big a test for your first UFC fight. Yeah. You don't want fucking Alistair Overeem as your first UFC fight.
How did he get on the... Did he take him down? Remind me how he got on top again.
Yeah, it was a trip. It was like an outside trip, I think, that he kind of threw him to the ground there.
You can't put this fight on to that point, could you? Because I want to explain. I want to let the audience know something here that's very wise and... just extremely smart, which is the same as wise. Wait, Alistair, when he got on top of him.
You want Ian Jacek against Valentina Shevchenko. That's the co-main of Holloway Ortega?
Correct. Yeah, ooh, that's December 8th.
God damn, that's a great fight.
Yeah. Hold on, sorry.
You got
Chris,
something.
Come on,
up.
Fix the flash.
I don't know why I can't just
Stay
loaded. It's like, what are you doing?
So, Jimmy, my wife had one of those like Fitbit things on. And, you know, when I was away for 12 days.
Yes, you were.
We did like 7 days at the parks.
Sure.
And, you know, my wife, it's like eight miles a day. I told you this already, maybe when I was there. It's a lot of walking.
Yeah, it is.
You know?
Oh, a lot of walking. Oh, Matt.
How about a little less walking, please? Okay. Unless it's a longer walking. Oh, and he's pissing me off. Because I listened to his little thing this morning. He said it again about the Chris the Producer thing.
His podcast.
It's really starting
to
hurt my
feelings.
And
even his buddy, Steve, that does it with him and listens to this show, and it's his son. So he's like, yeah, Chris the Producer. He even said it too. And I like that guy, but I might have some issues soon.
Well, you
stop using. No, I don't. It might roll off the tongue, but that, stop. All right, go back. You just had it.
Yeah, I'm going to.
Okay. All right. Let's. I forget that. Longo, Steve. From Longo's podcast, stop ripping off our shit. There's only one Chris the Producer, and he's right there. I'm giving him the Wyman applause.
Because
I'm not attacking the other producer. He might be a very, very nice guy.
I don't like him.
Just like Steve is. But, Jimmy, don't... Oh, did you pocket your hand?
Yeah.
Okay.
What do you think it is?
I thought you were doing the Al Bundy. But there's only one Chris the Producer.
My dick and balls
why don't you just call him Producer Chris? And then Ray goes, you know, I'm getting slack. Because he caught himself today when he said it. I heard it. He goes, oh, you know, I'm getting slack because they say they think it's the same producer as Matt's. And it's different Chris the Producer. No, it's Chris who's a producer. Or you want to call him Producer Chris? I'm okay with that. Don't fuck with my shit. Hack. All right, let's go.
Here we go. This is Overeem and Sergey Pavlovich. Like 2 minutes left in the first round.
Yeah, Overeem looked really, really good. I mean, you know, Sergey's a big guy.
Side leg kick now.
Nice.
Yes, he gets a clinch and then it's an out.
He gets a clinch and he trips him down. Now watch.
Right.
Watch what he's doing now when he's standing over him. Look where his hands are to his ankles. He could do the throwing the ankles to the side, or he lifts the ankles so he can't push them away and he goes inside the guard. Watch this. He lifts it. He's controlling the ankles. If he goes to push him away, he'll just come right back on top.
Well,
of
I believe he has 17 submissions
and,
in his career.
He settles inside that guard
immediately.
The second, what was smart about what Overeem did over him is he knew immediately where his ankles were. His ankles weren't even if they were in Overeem's hips, he can't just kick him off. He will just go back and forth with him when he goes to do that. If you do not control those ankles, you're not controlling your downed opponent. Look, he goes right back to the ankles when he's standing over him. And
but he didn't do any damage the first time on the ground.
No, but he's control. But now he's up and he's controlling the ankles. He's looking to go side to side. Now he settles in. Yeah. He settles in
elbow
with
his
pelvis.
Neck.
And look how his pelvis is right across his shin. Oh, one right hand. Now hammer fist.
Three, four, five.
Beautiful. Beautiful.
Six,
beautiful.
Seven, eight,
oh my goodness.
Nine straight punches that were unanswered.
Oh my goodness.
Head bouncing off the canvas.
Wow. Well, that was something, man. But yeah. Anyway. If you get somebody down, especially up against the cage, anywhere for that matter, know where their ankles are, know where their feet are, and know where your feet are. Thank you.
17 submissions. And again, if I'm remembering correctly.
Yeah, no, you're right.
So he's a fucking animal on the ground, Overeem. This guy just didn't have the experience. There's no way he was beating Overeem. So right. what do we all call?
So me and Matt both had Sergey Pavlovich. Matt had first round knockout for Pavlovich. I had second round knockout, which I... obviously, it didn't go that way. I stand by that one. I'm annoyed about the main event. I wish I'd picked the other way. Jim Norton, Alistair Overeem, first round knockout. That's three straight correct picks, all 3 points for those fights.
Jimmy's glowing right now.
He is. He's really excited.
Because I know that's all I got right.
That's all you got to get. 3 out of 4, not bad.
Now, the performance of another performance of the night.
The rematch against Ngannou. Wait.
Yep.
I was going to do the drum roll, but I guess there's only one fight left,
yeah.
And everybody knows it. So that's a fucking...
Ngannou, Curtis, Blades. They, you know, Blades was 10-1 going in. His only loss was to Ngannou, but it was a doctor stoppage in the eye. Ngannou had lost 2 straight, obviously to Stipe. Very tough fight that he was not prepared for. I mean, the cardio-wise. Admitted that he underestimated him. That Derek Lewis fight really threw me because he didn't come back, and he looked... too, like, zero confidence.
Right.
And we had heard, again, from wherever we heard it, that he was not training with heavyweights. He was training with, like, middleweights. And when I heard that, and I saw that Derek Lewis fight,
You what? You jumped off the bandwagon.
No,
you jumped off
true.
The train.
It's not true.
You jumped off the train.
No.
You jumped off the train.
No, you don't. That's not a train. jumping off a bandwagon. Hold on. Jumping off a bandwagon is when you're a Cowboy or a Giants fan.
Jimmy, it's not a saying. It's not a train.
Oh, yes. I've been on many trains. I've been in the middle of many of them.
Jimmy.
Hold on. When you jump off the bandwagon, it's when you don't like a team anymore because they lose.
Okay.
I still like Ngannou,
oh.
But I thought Curtis Blaydes was going to beat him because Curtis Blaydes had the confidence of knowing that they fought and Francis didn't knock him out. And Ngannou's confidence was shaken.
Sure.
Especially after coming up to that destruction of Overeem.
Controlled with his wrestling, was able to,
I thought
to
his
beat
wrestling,
Overeem.
Yeah.
Sure.
Are you back on? Are you back on the bandwagon?
I still like...
You're never off the bandwagon.
There's nothing to do with being off the bandwagon. I like Ngannou. I wanted Ngannou to win. I thought Blaydes would win. So if you bet with your heart and you lose, people are like, you bet with your heart. But then if you say, look, I think Blaydes has got him this time because he's not going to lose twice to him because his confidence is sky high. And Ngannou was saying, I don't feel confident. How am I going to pick fucking Ngannou in the first round knockout?
No, for sure.
All I know is I feel for John Jones because goddamn do I love a good cockpill.
I do too.
Oh, Jimmy. I like to spice it up with my old lady.
Now, Ngannou,
okay.
That fight, that was not even a great, like, it was a weird punch that he hit him with, too, over the top.
Dude, it's so much
he's
power.
He's so strong,
what do you think of the stoppage?
You know, they said, can we watch that again? Because
sure,
if I remember correctly, there was 3 or 4 unanswered shots, and at one point, Blaydes was leaned over, and I think his hands were down, and Ngannou was slamming him. I was okay with it, especially the second time I saw it.
I didn't love it. We'll watch it again here. I haven't seen it.
No, I didn't love it, but I was okay with it.
Yeah.
Let's see it. Let's see how it ends.
Yeah.
Careful. It's only 40 seconds. 44.
Wow.
You already missed
fight.
It. Yeah, okay. So now they're.
Two men are fighting. Boom.
And now
bing.
Bing
boom.
First of all, he's like bringing that right hand back a little. Like, here it comes.
Over the top. He knocks him down. His hands go 1, 2. Over the top. 3. He knocks him down again. Boom. 3, 4, 5. His hands are down. He is literally just boom. He's been knocked down 3 times. Ngannou is swinging around.
See, now they're not showing him because he's already got it.
Look
at him walking around.
They're all
and his head looks
punches.
Clear. It's
I mean, maybe it was a second too soon.
No, but it's not. It's unanswered.
unanswered punches 3 times he got knocked down.
But unanswered punches in a scramble.
Yeah.
So it's not like unanswered
That's
punches
true.
Like he's not protecting himself. He's just covering up.
Yeah.
He was in the middle of moving.
Of
so
getting
he can't,
up.
So it's one of those things where, in hindsight, it wasn't a great stoppage. You could understand why. What happens is this. What he expected is for when he had to jump in, he expected almost to be holding up Curtis. So then when Curtis just got up, he's like, hey, man. And then he's like, all right, no, you already. So you see his, you can't listen. You can't, you're not a mind reader. You don't know what this guy's feeling or how he's going to, when he goes to step in, how he's going to react and be like, oh, man, like he's still like head's fuzzy. His head was clear. And, you know, we're not going to know what could have happened if he would have made a little distance and landed another shot. And then they're going to say, oh, you should have broken up sooner. I understand it's a hard job. In hindsight, it was a little premature.
Can we watch that again? The last
little. Yeah. Look at him the second it stopped, and there's no stutter step or anything.
The reason was because he dropped and then went down a couple times.
Oh, no,
more
it looked
times.
Ugly in the beginning.
Like, he went down three times.
Right, you could almost argue that the ref was late to stop it, and then at the point when he did, he probably should have let it go at that point because he was already recovered.
Let me see. So he goes down. Yeah, Ngannou does have that arm fucking cocked.
Yeah, he's like, here comes the right. He's letting him know.
He's moving well.
But, hey, man, he got rid of his... Know what I do like about Francis?
Oh.
You could almost say stop it. But then...
No, not really. He's
knocked him down again.
See, now he's hitting
him. Right, hold on, right,
oh, look, but he's up.
You're right, he is up, but now he's down again.
But he's down, but look, but he's moving.
He is.
He never stopped moving.
Go back a second. Yeah. That last moment, Matt Watt, when he gets knocked down a third time, he's up again. Watch, punch right back down.
But that was kind of, like, not, I mean, he hit him, and you didn't see where it came from. He went to his knees, and he stopped, and he's still moving.
But the referee is watching him get knocked down three times in about 10 seconds, and he was not counterpunching, and he wasn't even defending. He was literally, his arms were on the ground for like two punches.
Yeah? Tell that to Chuck Congo versus Pat Barry.
It does
is
happen.
What I say. You tell that to tell Mark Goddard.
That's true. But you could also look at other guys that have gotten fucked up.
Hey, listen.
It's a very tough call.
It's a double-edged sword, Jimmy.
Yeah.
You can't win with that. But watching it, if people want to watch that fight with Kevin Lee versus Michael Chiesa and say, oh, that was premature, then why? I think his head was just as clear afterwards. It was just more of in a scramble.
I also think the size of the guy throwing the punches does go into the ref's head. He knows this is Francis Ngannou, and he sees X amount of punches landing. And when you see a guy go down three times, a guy as big as Curtis Blades, drops down, gets arms are on the ground getting up, pow, pow, gets up, drop down again. Arms on the ground getting hit, gets up, drop down again. The referee's probably not thinking, let me see his eyes. He's thinking he's just getting lit the fuck up, and he's going to get knocked down again.
Yeah, it's not horrific. It's not like one of the...
No, I've seen much worse.
Freak out about it, but I could have seen him maybe giving him a couple more seconds to see what happens there. But,
if he gets hit again and knocked down a fourth time, people are going to go, how many times are you letting Ngannou hit this guy?
Sure.
Well, listen, hey, man, they're not going to all be good calls.
No, that's true. That was a tough one. I forgive him.
That was a tough one. Yeah, you can't really hold it against him. I mean, he did get hit with that first shot that set that series up to... You know, make him on the ice skates and whatnot. But
I was happy to see Ngannou do that, though. I like him. But again, he's still, as much as he's a great big puncher and he's a ferocious striker, I don't see him beating a guy like Cain Velasquez. And I only see him beating Brock if he can't get Brock, if Brock can't get a hold of him. I don't think Brock could take one of his punches, though.
You know what I like?
Yeah, I agree.
Men.
You know what I like? What Curtis said, Curtis Blade said when he reacted to this on Twitter. He said, took one on the chin tonight. I will be back with the same confidence. And then the hashtag, sometimes you're the nail. Hashtag, minus setback. Hashtag, too young to stop now.
Sometimes you're the nail, yep.
Sometimes you're the nail, Jimmy, as you know, in other circumstances.
Yeah. My hiney hammered.
Ngannou, for what it's worth, he called out JDS because they were scheduled to fight a while back. That fight was off.
That'd be fun.
Of the USADA testing. Sure. Well, JDS is fighting Tai Tuivasa this week.
I enjoy Tai Tuivasa.
Me too. And then he also called out. Yes. And then he called out Alexander Volkov. And Stipe, of course, he would like the rematch.
So. Yeah. What is Stipe has not fought since? What is he doing, Stipe?
Like, he's fighting fires, man.
No. He's a man's man, and he deserves a rematch because they're not giving him a rematch right away because it was a first-round knockout.
Well,
they're just
had some
not.
Stuff back and forth with DC, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, they've gone back and forth a couple of times. It's sort of the same thing where Stipe's like, DC, I was ready for New York at UFC 230. Why don't you want to fight me? And DC keeps reiterating, like, if Brock can't make it, you're next. That's it. You know, like he's just not backing off.
He's going to fight Brock for the money.
Yeah.
I think Stipe should take another fight, but who would he take? Who's interesting for Stipe Miocic to fight? I mean, what is he right now?
Well, He probably feels he should fight nothing. He should just be fighting for the belt.
No, no, I agree. But I mean, like, what's he do? Yeah. Does he right. wait for the winner of Brock DC? I mean, they just gave Derek Lewis a shot at DC. And then what happens? You give Ngannou a shot at either Brock or one of those guys? Or wow. what do you do?
I think he's going to be back in the mix after the DC versus Brock fight.
Maybe. Yeah, because I like, I mean, I really like Stipe. I love to see a guy get a shot, especially after defending, what, 4 or 5 straight times. He broke the record. It's just harder to sell that fight because it ended in one round. And they're both nice guys. Right. Let's be honest. John Jones fights will always sell because there are people who hate his fucking guts. You know, a guy like DC is disliked, but he's not a shit talker. Stipe is loved. Like, neither one of these guys is villains. Do you understand what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. It's harder to sell. It's 3 defenses. He was going into the 4th one against DC and okay. obviously lost.
He's a likable guy, John Jones, isn't he, though?
I like John personally, yeah.
Every time I've talked to him, like, one-on-one, whether it's, I mean, this is the first time we interviewed him, like,
in the room, yeah.
But, like, even when me and you seen him in Vegas after that time, I think with the cock pill. I
always talked to him.
He's always just, he always seems like the same guy to me, yep. you know?
I forgot to ask him about Jackson Wink.
Oh, yeah.
I wanted to ask about Jackson Wink. I forgot.
What, all the drama?
Yeah, with Mike Perry. Was there any drama? Did he care at all?
I don't know, Jimmy. But let me tell you. Listen, we had John Jones in here. Wait, are we good? Because I got something else. I got something to say before we get out of here.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I was actually just going to bring up a little bit of quick news.
Go ahead, let's do that.
So
we can talk about my new series I'm watching after.
What is it?
I'm going to tell you in a second.
Brett Okamoto, who's at ESPN, Dana White apparently told him on Saturday night that Israel Adesanya, and this is not official by the UFC.
Wait, hold on.
Yeah, hit the drum. All good. It's exciting information.
No.
Unofficial by the UFC.
I already know this.
Oh, wait, what?
I already told you guys this.
What?
But Dana.
What?
Told ESPN.
What?
That Israel Adesanya is probably going to take on Anderson Silva February.
I heard about that. That's yeah. exciting, yeah. though. I'm excited about
yeah,
it.
But we can talk about
it. But no, we'll talk about
it. Co-main event where?
I didn't know what you were talking at, though.
That would likely be the co-main event on UFC 234. That's Whitaker versus Gastelum February 9th in Melbourne, Australia.
Oh, that's right. That's why he went to Australia.
Yeah.
Wow. Man, I mean, listen, man, I'm big on the fucking Last Stylebender.
I really like him.
And I like that. I told you that. Did you ever check out that Instagram I told you? With the smile, bitch. And the girl's giving him the stink eye.
Yeah, we showed it.
I love that. I like his personality. I love his fighting style. I like him on the mic. I like his hair. I don't know. I do. I seen him in person. We were talking. Yeah, I wish I could do that. He had the hair pick in there. I can't do that.
You know what? You know what's really it's really annoying. So after UFC Atlantic City, I was at that.
Okay.
I was out on the boardwalk afterward. And, like,
there
the
you were, just grabbing yourself a little taffy. Tell us more.
What happened? And by the way, Jimmy, fuck you. I'm probably waiting in a hot dog line. Go fuck yourself. I listened to the beginning of that fucking episode. You don't even remember. Oh, he's probably in line. He's supposed to be on the phone earlier. And he's probably in line for a line or something, Chris. No, probably in line for a hot dog line.
That's right.
I forgive you.
Should. All you've been doing is talking about how fat I got.
Right.
I look good, though, Jimmy, right?
You look average.
But go ahead, Chris, the producer.
No, I was just, it's not even like really a great story, ahead. But I was out on the boardwalk, and Israel Adesanya was at that event, and I saw him walking by, I guess, with his friend or a manager, and I should have gone up to him and just been like, hey, I produced, God, you can boo me, but I should have gone up to him.
That's a great story. I'm trying to think of how to build a mini-series around this.
Could you tell the story again? Tell the story one more time, because I don't think, I was looking at my phone for a second.
It's night. It's nighttime,
and when was this?
In Atlantic City. Okay.
Is this a funny story or is this a dramatic story? So what happens? Go ahead. What happens?
I was just saying I should have approached it. It's something I regret not going up to because now everybody's going to know who he is, you know?
Yeah, I mean, obviously. No, that's a good story.
That story. No, I liked it. First of all, the story, it grows on you.
We open up.
Sure. The more you tell the story.
You know, we open. Chris is walking, hands in pockets on AC. Yep. He's being stalked by four local youths.
Basically, the story is he's seen
Israel Adesanya,
the Last Stylebender, on the boardwalk.
And a friend.
Right.
And he didn't say anything.
Chris is like, I should have talked to him.
What's one of those?
I see, I'm trying to think of what the arc would be for the miniseries. I see 10 episodes.
Speaking of miniseries, do you have any more news?
Well, what do you think about this fight?
I think it's a problem for Anderson. I think if he fought him after he got out of the fucking time machine, if he drove that DeLorean to fucking whatever it was and fought him back in time, that'd be different in his prime.
I totally agree.
I think the speed. Did we talk about this with Anderson?
No.
With Anderson.
No, I mean, did we talk about this with John Jones about Anderson or no? What the fuck were we talking about? I thought we did.
No.
The fuck, I'm out of my mind.
No. No, what we talked about it a little bit before. Wait, that maybe that was something we could bring up, but
we didn't, really get into it. We talked about this,
But I agree, right? Speed and accuracy is going to be an issue there, I think.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, look, but again, one of the guys we were talking to before pointed out that Anderson's a bigger guy.
Yes, talk to me. Yep.
But you know, again, Brunson is Brunson went the distance with Silva, and he knocked him out in the first round. And even though there's no threat of being taken down usually by Anderson, probably. If he could have, he had to. I mean, Jesus Christ, he certainly fucking finished Chael on the ground in round five.
Right. The tie clinch could be an issue in that fight. I mean, obviously, Stylebender's shown that he can get out of those positions and stay at distance, but that could be, you know, one of the elements that he's not used to fighting Gael Anderson Silva. But,
yeah,
you know, yeah, I think it's probably an Israel Adesanya.
Yeah, I always say that's a good fight for Israel. I was happy when he knocked out Brunson, that showed me a lot because nobody expected a first-round knockout of Derek Brunson.
Oh, yeah.
And that fight is...
Well, unofficial, but that
has been announced. Yeah, Dana told me that the last time I saw him. He's like, he's fighting... I wanted to say it so bad just so I'd finally have the scoop. But this was a good episode. I mean,
I had so much fun, Jimmy.
Yeah, John...
Do you
want
to hear about the new series?
Sure.
Jimmy?
Yeah.
I got a new app, Jimmy.
Wait, is this not an official Matt's Movie Minute?
Well, it's not a movie, okay. But hit that thing anyway because I want people to pay attention. Matt's Miniseries Minute. I switched it up a little bit. Hi, everybody.
It works.
Hi. Now, listen.
Go on now.
Now, I talked to my buddy over there at Collider, Kristen Harloff. All right. Now, I told you I did that show, Collider. It's like the geek show, the podcast about all geeky shit that I love.
Absolutely.
Comic book movies. All man.
Dancing.
You say dancing?
Yeah.
No, that's not what it's about, Jimmy.
I'm sorry.
But listen, and I asked about this. I don't know if I got a... Nobody really pushed me to get it. But then I was on vacation, and I told you my brother-in-law was with me, Edwin.
Edwin, yes.
And Edwin, like myself, is a little bit of a man-child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Big man-child. Big 300-pound man-child. And he likes a lot of the shit.
Do people
like
bother him in the park when he's walking around?
No, not really.
Do people hassle him?
One guy came up to me like, hey... Oh, you know, whatever. You know, you watch the fights, and he brought up the podcast, and he's like, "Who's the big guy?" Because I got Edwin next to me. I think people think I walk around like a bodyguard.
No, but do people like pick on Edwin and try to be disrespectful?
Not really. No.
Guy's call him fucking, a bitch and stuff
guy's
like that.
Guy's gigantic.
He's a big guy.
Yeah, he's strong, dude, and good.
And he can fight.
So, what's that?
And he can fight.
And he can fight, man. He can fight. And so, listen, we're there, and I was talking to him about this new app for the DC Universe. I know, don't make fun of me.
Why you like
the
that
DC
stuff?
Universe app? It's
hello?
About it's.
Sorry, I got a call.
Oh, Jimmy! Holy fuck! Oh shit! I'm lighting. You're gonna make the show go longer, and you made me cry. Oh fuck, Jimmy! Listen, Jimmy. I know it. I know you're tuning out. Right?
I'm not tuning out at all.
You're tuning out now.
I'm right with you.
Liz, can you just give me 2 minutes to talk about this?
I'm right with you.
Oh, is this thing charging?
Yeah.
No, you can't.
All right, listen. How many times I've said that to women?
Listen to me, Jimmy. It's a DC streaming service.
Do you know the chess championship was drawn? It was a draw?
Fuck you. Listen to me.
12 games in a row. Jimmy. Sorry.
What I like about this streaming service is you get all like DC content, and one of the things on this DC, it's easy, man. You get it's only like $75 for the whole year. But listen to me, listen to me,
it's a good bargain,
Jimmy. Listen. Let me tell you, besides a lot of like you know those cartoon movies I told you about, like the Flashpoint Paradox and like hardcore.
I've never seen it, but
it's listen to me.
Do you like it?
All right, forget about that. All right. That's all that shit's on this
it's
service.
Old hat.
But listen to me,
DC app.
What I love, what I am, let me tell you. If this was on HBO or something, people would be talking about this fucking show.
It's the Sopranos.
could you let me talk about the show? I'm excited about this show. Could you let me talk about the UFC Army wants to hear.
You're
about
not
this.
Wrong.
It's called Titans. It's called Titans.
I've heard of it.
And oh my Jimmy! Oh what? Jimmy, it's so much fun. You know how I like the Netflix, like the Marvel shows on Netflix, like Daredevil.
Yes.
They were like the gold standard for me. Like the first Daredevil and the second season with Punisher. I liked the Punisher too. It was cool. I think this might trump them all. I like the way it's going.
Do you need to know anything to watch it?
You don't need to know shit.
Okay.
They explain everything. It's basically about Dick Grayson. Excuse me.
Who's Dick Grayson?
That's the first Robin. That's Robin. Okay. And he's a bad mother jumper in this, dude. I clean up my language.
Are you sure?
It's like Teen Titans.
It is like Teen Titans. Okay. And it's a cartoon with them. It's very goofy and it's giddy. And I saw, I took my kids to see that movie. Oh, okay. And it's.
But this is not a cartoon.
No, it's not. Definitely not for kids. Hardcore shit going on in here.
Where is it? On the DC hardcore. App only?
Hardcore fight scenes.
Wait, where can I see this?
It's on DC. That's the thing.
You can't see it on Netflix?
No.
Why don't they stop it?
You know why? Because this is like the Netflix for nerds. It's the DC Universe app. I told you, dude. It's even like $7 a month or $74 for the year. I know that because I
And they produce content. Okay.
All the content. I mean, this thing, I don't binge watch shit. I watched 4 episodes the other day.
How many episodes are there?
I think like 12 or something. It's like the Netflix.
One season.
I fucking love this show. I'm so into it. It's so cool. And the characters are good. And I'm such a nerd.
I'm just laughing because you're like, it's so cool.
Dude, I'm a big kid. I know. Yeah. But I like when things are done well. That's what I like, Jimmy.
How about the character Jeff? G-E-O-F-F.
Who's that?
Isn't there a character
Jeff? No, there's not a character Jeff. Jeff.
He does
Jimmy,
flips and stuff.
Jimmy, there's not a character Jeff. No. But let me tell you. There's a little possessed girl that
oh, it's just I don't need to see that.
No. I got to get the names down. I'm still new to this.
Sure.
But I gotta go back on Collider because I got to geek. I was going to hit. Now, that guy, it's another guy that I'm acting like I'm closer with than I really am. This guy, Christian. Yeah. Because he used to watch me fight and I was on the show. So now if I get excited about geek stuff, I was about to text him on Sunday. I go, I'm not that close with this guy.
No, he doesn't care.
He doesn't want to get bothered on a Sunday.
No, he's with his family.
Right?
He's getting blown.
Jimmy, the show is Titans. This is what I want you to do. Right. And this is how I got into it. Because, back to Edwin. He got the thing first. Oh, so we're at Ciro's house, you know, over in Florida. After Disney, he was in Tarpon Springs. You know, we visited over there. We had Thanksgiving out there, you know.
It was nice.
And, we had a good time. We had a good time over at
Ciro's. Turkey?
No, I didn't have any turkey. I had gluten-free pasta.
Did you?
That's what I do.
Okay.
Thank you. And some steak.
You don't like turkey?
I have nothing against turkey.
You're not in the mood for it.
I don't like turkey too much. Okay. Sorry, Jimmy. Listen, Jimmy. So Edwin, he downloaded this thing first, and he was balls deep into it right after Thanksgiving. That dude watched. He binged 4 episodes right there on his iPhone. And I go, dude, is it that good? And I couldn't watch it because my kids are all over me. You know what I mean? My kids are all over me. So when we got back, by the way, really quick, let me just tell you my disaster. I know we're closing soon here.
Yeah,
Jimmy. I missed the plane. We had to drive back to Orlando to get home. We had a 2 o'clock flight. On the way back, traffic, then my youngest threw up a little bit. We had to pull off the road, go back. We missed the fucking flight.
Wait, what time did you leave for the airport? 2 o'clock flight.
2 o'clock flight? We left at 10 o'clock.
4 hours early. How far was it?
A couple hours away.
So you didn't give yourself enough time.
Obviously not.
The kid got car sick and you had to go back
when? And if you tell that to my wife, you know what she'll say?
What?
I have to get 4 people ready. So, and that's not including yourself. That's my 3 kids and me.
So she'll leave. You guys left. One of your daughters got car sick, which happens.
Yeah.
And then you had to go back.
Yeah.
Why'd you have to go back?
Go back where?
You said you
didn't have to go back. We had to pull off to a rest stop and get her cleaned up a little bit. Got back on the road. We got there. We missed it by whatever, how many minutes.
Wait, did you miss the boarding? Was the plane still there?
The plane was still there. It was a 154 plane. We got to the fucking thing by 1:30. You know?
Were you mad when they wouldn't leave?
We had a lot of bags to put on. We understood. Well, I don't give a fuck. Whatever. I know. I knew when we're not there an hour before that we're not going to most likely get on.
So what'd you do?
So, you know, we had to get the rent the car back to. What we did was they booked us on an 8 o'clock flight. Oh, no. 6 hours at the airport. What's the matter with that?
That's fine.
You know, with the chilies. With the chilies. My kids had to catch up on some homework. You know? So we get on this fucking flight, right?
You just hung out at the airport?
Dude. Yeah, we hung out at the airport all day. Like fucking Tom Hanks in that shitty movie.
Were you pissed?
And,
we could have been home already.
Nah, I wasn't. I could be. I'm hanging with my family. I could have a good time. But anyway. And so anyway, so we get on this plane. Now listen, I never dealt with turbulence like this in my life. And it's one of those things where if it's just you, it's one thing. I'd be like, whatever, I had a good life. But I'm like, yo, I feel bad for my kids. I actually, and this never happened to me on a plane. I fucking had to, I threw up a little in a fucking bag.
Wow. That's why I Chili's. Think it was that bad, huh?
Came up. It was bad, Jimmy. It was up.
And were you guys going over storms?
It was when we were like in the descent, but then it was 15 minutes of like, one of those. And my kids, I'm looking back, and they were pretty cool, except for I get my youngest one.
Did the girl throw up again, the one who got sick?
No, I thought she was. But so I was, because we missed it, we put them three in a row. My wife's across from them in the other aisle seat, and I'm in front of them on the right, you know, and whatever, the row of front. So I got to keep looking back. I think me keep looking back, making sure they're okay, got my belly upset.
Were you in clouds? Oh, you couldn't tell because it was dark. But isn't that the worst, though? Like, I had that going into Seattle. Where those are horror. Even though you know you're safe. Like, intellectually, I know. Man. I know what the plane looks like. The wings are just doing this. You're fucking fine. It doesn't interfere at all.
So fun in games.
Do you know what I do? I put my headphones on. I dance a little. This is true. I was so nervous going into Seattle with heavy turbulence.
I saw that.
And it was not good. But my bottom line is I was just kind of like moving a little bit. And you know what? This way when the fucking plane jostles, you're already moving.
Yeah.
It's not as big.
What if
big.
You got no rhythm? What if I started doing the robot?
I did have no rhythm. And the robot would have been an improvement. But I didn't care how I looked. All I cared about was not being scared anymore.
There was a robot in Titans.
Were you scared?
No. I wasn't scared. I was getting more nauseous though. But when it landed, it makes you just want to hug everybody.
The plane was dropping.
We had such a good time. But listen, back to Titans. The casting, Jimmy, yeah, it was shitty. But we got home. We had a great vacation, you know. And I'm happy to be back here with you guys.
Yeah.
But let me tell you something that I want people. This is what you do. You go on YouTube and you check out. See that you can see little scenes on this show, Titans. Titans on the DC Universe. And you'll see clips of Robin fighting people and fucking them up. And you see
different fucking Dove. Cape on?
Oh, man, there's this couple hooking. I know it sounds really. Dude, I'm not going to be doing this.
Does Robin have his little cape on?
Robin's a bad. Robin actually has some issues, man. Like, they're like saying, like, yo, like he's became like a maniac. Like, when he starts fucking people up, it's almost like you got to pull him off him. I am so impressed with this show that I want to talk about it because I want people to get this thing because I have no dog in this race.
Let me ask you something.
Is it a horse in the race?
Horse in the race.
What about a dog that races?
That's not the way it works. Now, is there, I would always say, I don't have any dog in this porn, you know, if I was watching a German film. Now, let me ask you, is this before or after he was with Batman?
It's not before. I mean, Batman trained, though. Look at me. I'm like, but that's a real nerd who's like, duh, it's not before.
I don't know the deal.
Batman had to train him, a-hole.
I wouldn't know.
They go into how his parents, I don't want to get into it, but, you know, the Flying Graysons, we know the story. But they go in, have to, you know, it was like they were doing their little high.
Sure.
Fucking, what is the thing?
The trapeze.
The trapeze. Somebody did a little, did a sabotage.
Who was it, the Joker?
You're making fun of me. You making fun of me, Riz? Anyway, guys, listen to me. Get the DC Universe app. You don't have to. If you're a geek like me, you should. Because damn, that show Titans is good. Check it out on YouTube. You might want to buy it. What else, Christopher?
No, and just to be clear, I don't know if you guys really understood how empty the boardwalk was when I'm there.
It really was scary, right? Because AC is not a great area.
No, and this and now the Stylebender's walking by. I should have said, I don't.
He frightened you?
No, he didn't frighten me, but I
just didn't know what to do.
Christopher, it's good.
Yeah.
Well, listen, this was
what a show.
This was fun. I enjoyed this. We're glad you're back, Mac.
I'm back, Mac.
And thanks to John Jones for coming in. I really enjoyed talking to John.
Yeah, it was great.
I'm happy he's back fighting. I cannot wait for this fight with Gustafson. And congratulations to Ngannou for getting the ship straightened out.
This is a big week for us, Jimmy.
It is.
So you know who's coming in next episode? Should we tell him or no?
We have rumors that Max Holloway's coming.
That's true, yeah.
I hope he comes in.
I'm sure his concussion stuff is okay or he wouldn't be fighting.
Right.
Him and Brian Ortega, they fight next week, right? Or 2 weeks
from now? That's December 8th. Oh, so it's the week after.
Okay. Good. I'm doing Chip Chipperson in Philly the 7th so that I will go home after that and watch the 8th. It'd be wonderful. I can't wait. I'm going to go find a girl. I'm going to have her come over. I'm going to make love to her.
Watching
the fight. That's
great. The last thing I do is make love watching a UFC fight, so I don't want her to see the shape I'm in compared to these guys.
Yeah?
Yeah, Brian Ortega with his ponytail. She's like, ooh, I want to fuck him.
Like, she might get all worked up for you.
No.
No?
No.
It's a fun episode, Jimmy. Anything else to plug?
That's it, buddy. Chip Chipperson Podcast and Sarah BJJ.
.com. I'll see you Matt Sarah BJJ on Instagram.
See you Thursday.
See you then, buddy.
Make sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, radio.com, or wherever you listen to your podcasts. It's not my business.